Spoil your loved ones at Chemist Warehouse with Issey Miyake for women, 100ml for $69.99. Chemist Warehouse. Great savings this Mother's Day. The Big
Breakfast. Triple M's Big Breakfast.
G'day, g'day. Welcome to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. Plenty on today, including the former PM, Rich Uncle Mal.
Yeah, and Prince Charles. How that happened, still can't quite work out.
In tandem, together.
Do you think they're drinking buddies?
Well, I don't know.
Unlikely couple, you mean?
Very unlikely.
What would they drink? Are they gin drinkers, you reckon?
Oh, possibly. Yeah, I don't think...
Now, I've told you before.
Gin sounds about right, doesn't
it? I've told you what the Queen drinks, haven't I?
Gin?
No.
Gin? She drinks gin, a lot of it. No, not Beefeater. Okay. She drinks Hendrix. If you're in a bottle shop and you go, I want to be like the Queen... Get stuck into a bottle of Hendrix.
But she does gives it like morning tea, afternoon tea.
She gives it a workover.
She
apparently.
Is pickled.
Mm-mm.
Well done.
She's the queen is pickled.
Why not? Why wouldn't you? If you're having everything done for you, just get maggot. I'm all for it.
I agree. Now, you've got to be careful with gin, though. Don't drink tonic water. There is so much sugar in tonic water. You drink diet tonic
water. Yeah, but you won't get malaria. Oh. Remember I told you that?
But diet tonic water.
If you're going to drink a bottle of gin in a day, don't have tonic water. That's bad for your health, all right?
May I ask, what is the difference between regular tonic water and Indian tonic water? Do we know?
Oh, I've got no idea.
I've never been able to find out.
Indian tonic water, I would suggest there's more malaria, so it would have more of that anti-malaria stuff.
Are we cowboys or are we the cricketing nation Indian? Which Indian is it, do you think?
Well, I don't know. That's the thing. So many questions about Indian tonic water.
No, but it started... So this whole thing about having tonic to stop you getting malaria started in the colonies in India.
Oh, so it's Indian as in...
Taj Mahal, India.
Yeah, righto.
Okay. Not cowboys and Indians.
Gotcha.
Ooh.
So it's actually from India. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So does all tonic water have to be called Indian tonic water?
Maybe.
Because tonic water is not called Indian tonic water, it's just tonic water.
Okay, can we stop now?
Have you ever had a hangover and gone to the fridge and thought it was soda water?
Oh, don't you hate that?
Tonic water on its own.
No.
Wicked.
The royal baby has been named unexpected name as well.
Archie.
Indian tonic water.
Indian tonic water is the name.
Diet.
Archie Harrison, because it's son of Harry, Mountbatten Windsor.
Does that spell something? I haven't added them all up.
Oh, I haven't either.
The acronym.
A-H. What else you got? A-H-M-W.
No, not at all.
We continued your campaign as well to get Cameron Smith to play State of Origin again.
Now the Queensland Rugby League's going, listen, we've got an idea. We might bring Cam Smith back. Hey, listen, guys.
You're a bunch of munters. Munts. That's absolutely right. Bunch of Johnny-come-latelys, aren't they?
Yeah, catch up.
Catch up.
Anything else? Oh, Pamela Anderson, Julian Assange.
What was Pamela Anderson?
Well, they're not stonking. And why am I even
stonking?
Yes, they
she
are.
She went in there to take down some notes, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, was she going into the Ecuadorian embassy over the years?
Because yes, she said
we had her on the show today, so the audio of her saying she loves him.
Yeah, well, she actually lives with her boyfriend in France.
Oh.
Who is an old French World Cup soccer player.
Oh.
Someone.
How do you know that? Is that where Pamela Anderson lives, in France, with an old soccer player?
Yeah, yeah.
But she goes and hangs out with Julian Assange.
Yeah, she just catches the train or the ferry to England and goes sees him. Anyway. Anything else?
No.
You know that for a fact, do you?
I don't.
You know.
The Eurostar. Okay. I don't know.
So you know all
she
that.
She swims the English Channel in a red dog.
Oh, she's not Susie Maroney.
You know all that and all I
Where
know
Where in the
about
world
her.
Is Pamela Anderson?
She'd be near a lake, that Tommy Lee video, I'm telling you right now.
Okay,
that was the first video anyway.
What Tommy Lee video?
Oh, go back in time. Yeah. Tommy Lee from Motley Crue was her boyfriend and they shot this video on the boat God.
What happened on the boat?
There was...
Camping, and then the F was...
BCF in fun, I tell you that much.
Jesus. Where would that video be? There was only one, and I think we all just passed it around to each other.
Okay, amazing. Not me.
VHS.
I still got it on VHS. Mm. Yeah. Good times.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
We've been talking about the campaign, the effort to make sure that Cameron Smith is selected for game one at Suncorp Stadium. That's all we want because we don't have a leader, we don't have a goal kicker, we don't have a playmaker, and we've got a man who's still running around in the NRL. And it drew parallels to 2001. And we spoke to Wayne Bennett yesterday. We've spoken to Lottie Takiri. That moment when Alan Langer came from nowhere, came from England, and they went, no one even knew about it. Wayne Bennett pulled a masterstroke, and the series was 1-1, and Queensland won 2-1 in 2001.
Unbelievable.
Robin, what I didn't tell you prior to that, and Nick, was that in 2000, New South Wales had a star-studded team, okay? And this is why Wayne Bennett, he wasn't coach. A guy called Mark Murray, Muppet, was the coach of Queensland, okay? So Muppet, in their last game, I think it was about 42-14, New South Wales completely dished us the whole series. And they carried on like absolute pork chops. In the third game, Nick, when they whitewashed us, they after they scored a try, they pretended to the football was a hand grenade and threw it. You may have seen the footage.
Yeah, I did.
You threw it on the ground and everyone fell over. Hilarious stuff. Well, that humiliation led to Wayne Bennett going, I want back into Origin. I want to get the pride back into Queensland. And that led to Alan Langer. And that now leads, it's all progressive, leads to the why we want Cameron Smith. Can I take you back to 2001 and one of the world's most arrogant men who these days appears with Matty Johns on the Fletcher and Hindy? He's the man who threw the hand grenade.
Oh, Brian Fletcher.
Fletch.
Hello. What an intro.
Yeah.
Wow. So much detail.
By the way, mate, it was 56. We got to 50, mate.
The arrogance continues. What, did you ever know that that's why Wayne Bennett wanted back into Origin? Because he just sat there apparently seething that night when you were tossing the hand grenades?
No, I didn't know then. I've known since, because apparently when they got into camp after that for the next 12 years and they've won every year, you guys won. They watch that as they when you go into camp, you watch that and you say, don't let this happen again. It was that era of try celebration. So yeah. I just got caught up there. I'm easily led.
Yeah, yeah. So do you think Cam should come back for us?
Look, he's playing as good as he ever has. And as you said on your intro there, you need a goal kicker and a leader. He ticks all those boxes. As a New South Wales supporter, no, I don't want him there. But as a fan of Cameron Smith, I think it'd be great, yeah.
Were you on the lounge with him on Sunday night with Matty?
I was, mate. Yeah.
Did you get a private little chat? I know that was the night he said, never say never. I was so excited about that when I got here Monday.
That's what I thought too. He just left the door ajar, didn't he? He said, look, not at this stage, you know, when you hear all that. It's very similar to when coaches get the full support of the board. You know that they're gone the next day. So there is a door ajar or a window, whatever you want to call it. There's some sort of opening. Why not get the best player in the game on the biggest stage of the game? So get him in there.
Hey, listen, now the whole world of rugby league is transporting itself to Brisbane. I hear you you and Hindy are coming up.
We are coming up. So we are in a bubble. You know those balls that people you can go in and spin around in? Well, it's probably three times the size of that.
Why?
We're going to be on, I don't know.
Bubble boys, like Seinfeld.
So you're not allowed to shower. Little known, little do the producers know that I have a plan to escape.
So people can poke their head. If I drop in Thursday, Arvo, you can. When are you going
coming
there?
Coming in.
Righto.
We're going Thursday night after the show. So please feel free.
Hold on.
I don't think it'll be sleeping.
Are you doing the show? Is Matty John's Thursday night from outside Suncorp?
Correct. I don't want to be talking to Hindmarsh for 3 days straight without human contact.
No one does.
Feel
no
free
one
to
does.
Come in, Marty.
Brian Fletcher, thank you so much for your time. Watch every game of Magic Round live. Ad break free during play and HD in Fox League. Sign up now, foxtel.com.au. See you, Fletch. Thanks, brother. Big Breakfast, Triple M.
The Big Breakfast.
Anything is possible.
With Marto, Robin and Nick Cody.
One of our greatest living treasures, former Prime Minister, Big Uncle Mal. He's overseas at the moment somewhere. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, Marto. Good morning to you, Robin Bailey, to you, Nick Cody, and, of course, Brendo. Always a pleasure. I've deported myself to New York, so I can't be accused of spoiling during this election campaign, but I'm still funding some independents in marginal seats. I'm enjoying it from afar, you might say, Marto.
Lovely. Well, I'm sure you are, but I'm sure you still caught up with the fact that Scott Morrison was a victim of an attempted egging. Have you ever been egged?
Well, no. The only time that I've been egged, Robin Bailey, is a self-egging. And please let me clarify there, too. There's been a couple of occasions. Once I was down at Bronte having a Benedict, and the thing flipped right off the plate into my lap and stained my chinos. And another time I was at home, Lucy and I were... I said, stained my chinos.
Yeah, got it.
And another time that I was at home up at the pub, skinning up a fatty loose, and I were getting pretty blazed, and I decided to make a souffle. And I didn't put the lid on the Thermomix properly, and the thing just whizzed around, and it went all over me. Frothy egg all down the front. It really looked like I'd had an accident. And they're the only times that I've been egged.
Wow.
Hey, listen, let's get back to real time. Yesterday, Bill Shorten told a sub-story about his mother saying, oh, she was a working class. There appears to be some holes in his story.
Well, there appears to be a lot of holes in his story. If he wanted to tell a sob story that would get the whole of Australia on side, he should say, I'm a man with boobies. And it's not easy. I've got to wear a massive blouse as a shirt with the neck always gaping open because I've got a C-cup under here. I mean, when he went jogging with Jonathan Thurston recently, I tell you what, he nearly took his own eye out. He should have had the burly on for sure. And yes, apparently his mother was a top-line barrister and he said she was a schoolteacher. Come on, get your story right, tits. No good at all.
Did you watch the leaders' debate last night?
I would rather lean into an angle grinder than watch that. I'd do something with a knitting needle to really injure myself. Watching a leaders' right. No, I won't be. I'll be at one of the finest restaurants on the Upper East Side enjoying some foie gras and some coq au vin, of course.
Now I'm led to believe, I know this takes it off the Australian political scene, but I'm led to believe that you've got Prince Charles with you.
Yes, I have. Right here, excuse me, Your Royal Highness, would you mind stepping up to the microphone?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Malcolm. Hello to everyone on the Big Breakfast Triple M in Brisbane. I do love you, and of course I miss you.
Oh, well, you've become a grandfather again. Exciting news.
Well, it is exciting. The whole family's very exciting, but I'm not a grandfather again. Of course, James Hewitt's the grandfather. And I congratulate the whole Hewitt family. Of course, James hasn't had a good time of it and lives in a two-bedroom bedsit with his mother somewhere in the English countryside because you don't mess with royalty.
Can you rock somewhere for us?
I'll just put the Prime Minister back on.
Okay.
Before I go, I just want to say that Triple M rocks Baval out near Ipswich. A home for bogans and low breeds. I'll never go out there. I've never been there and I never will. Good on you, Barnell.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
I'm pretty passionate about this. Something happened yesterday that had the potential to be incredibly dangerous. I want you to work with me here because I'm going to give you some suburbs and some roads. I'm coming through Kenmore. I've come past the lights where Kenmore Village is. I'm coming up the hill.
Yep.
You pass Chapel Hill Road.
Yep.
Start to come down the hill. You can turn right into Fig Tree Pocket Road. Do you know where I am?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so I turn right with a whole stream of other cars and there is a line of cyclists coming through on Fig Tree Pocket Road.
Coming the other way?
No, they're coming on my lane. So they've obviously come up Moggle Road, turned into Fig Tree Pocket Road as well. Now, for anyone who drives that area, you're coming around into a roundabout on Fig Tree Pocket Road. It is narrow. And there are cars screaming off Moggle Road who are then ending up heading towards Kenmore and Fig Tree Pocket and all that area.
Yeah.
It was so dangerous.
Yep.
Four cyclists.
Too wide?
The road wasn't wide enough.
Were they too wide, the cyclists, or single file?
Well, they weren't. Yeah, they were in single file, but the road isn't big enough. Mm. And this was at school pickup time, so around 4 o'clock. And I'm just sitting there, and all the cars are banking up behind as we're trying to manoeuvre around these cyclists. Now, I know that we have to leave a metre. That is the law, and I'm happy with that. But I am going to say that there are certain roads in southeast Queensland that cyclists should not be allowed on. Let me add to
100%.
You, Nudgee Road at Toombul.
I rode that on Tuesday. That is bloody dangerous.
Okay, Nudgee Road at Northgate.
Well, they're the same. Do you know, that's a really weird road because they'll have a 200 metres of a bike lane and then it just disappears and you've got trucks.
Oh, that,
so many trucks. How annoying is that?
As a cyclist, I love that. Yeah, just there's your little strip of bike lane and then we hope you evaporate because there's nowhere else
exactly
to go.
Exactly right.
So you probably don't even realise as a driver, this is what's happening. So Nick and I are out there riding our bushies trying to save the, well, not really save the planet. I'm just doing it so I can eat and drink
fit
a lot. But that they have bike lanes. They don't have bike lanes. It just you're supposed to hop on the footpath, are you?
I'm not allowed to
We're not allowed on the footpath?
No, you're not. And I'm not allowed to go on your bikeway on the Western Freeway because it says pedestrians not allowed. So if there are places that are only for cyclists, I'm sorry, there should be roads that are only for cars. And 100%. If you want, I'll keep naming them.
What about the Clem Jones Tunnel?
Okay, you're not allowed on that.
Why can't
and
we go?
That's my point.
Why can't we go there? Why can't I go on the M1 and why can't I go on any motorway? So I'm not allowed in any tunnels on my pushy?
Yeah, no, because it's dangerous, people, because people are screaming past at 110, but I'm also talking about the suburban roads. I just think there are certain roads in Brisbane that cyclists shouldn't be under.
What are you such a hurry for? Why are you in such a hurry? Why can't you just wait until the car comes, doesn't go the other way and go around me or somebody
really?
Else?
Is that your argument?
Yeah, and I can feel you. I can hear you as the size of the
rage.
Yeah.
the rage through the windshield.
Nick, you feel the same thing. I know people are hating us, and that's okay. We're doing it to... I'm not doing it to save the planet. I'm doing it just so I feel healthy.
Yeah, no. I'm sorry.
What are you doing? Just tapping a piece of rubber with your toe?
No, I'm trying to get home with kids in the back of the car at a peak hour time, and there are certain roads that should not have cyclists.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you want to open it?
Robin's frustrated, and when Robin's frustrated, we do this.
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
Well, to be fair, it's usually when Mardo's frustrated.
Correct.
But yesterday... You're being very quiet. You're usually going nuts about this stuff. I thought you'd be far more defensive of the cyclist because you are one.
There are some roads, as Nick and I said, that are really dangerous and you know you shouldn't be on them, but you've got to get from... I will try to ride on as many bike paths as possible, but sometimes you've got to get from one to the other or you've got to be somewhere and there ain't no bike path at times.
So what do you do about the, for example, you can't get on the freeways? You navigate around that?
You go around it. The Western Freeway's a beauty. It's got a bike path right next to it, which some motorists threw thumbtacks on in the last about a month ago, trying to hurt cyclists.
No, and I don't agree with hurting people. I don't agree with yelling at them. I think that there are wonderful people who are choosing to do this and not own a car. That's not what this is about, but I think that until we can put bikeways in places, there are certain roads, it is just too dangerous.
Can you make sure you're asking people to ring and you're not allowed to be mean to racial or religious groups or anything? Make sure people aren't nasty.
To cyclists.
No, because it could incite violence against us. I'm semi-serious. People throw urine at us. They spit at us.
Really?
You ask any cyclist, has he had anything thrown or yelled at him and bottles and stuff?
Okay, this isn't about the individual. This is about the roads that we're riding on.
I know.
Okay, Tony of Redland Bay, cyclists shouldn't be allowed on certain roads, so says I. Do you agree or disagree?
Absolutely. I agree with you, Robin. I have to agree with you. Look, they're dangerous to a point that people are getting injured. I saw one just the other day come off his bike. I think the road should be there for traffic only. Cyclists should be off the road.
Totally? All roads?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Off the road. They've got cycling tracks. They've got cycle pathways.
What about footpaths? Are we allowed on the...
I think from 12 or something you're not allowed on.
Well, I don't drive on the footpath, so I think you're safe there. But, I mean, it's a bit messy if you're not.
But there's people there. And what I want to know is, if you're a driver, you probably haven't been on a bicycle path. They're called bike paths, okay?
Yeah.
What are people doing walking on them three abreast? Can we deal with that as well?
No, I agree with that. And the Western Freeway, there are certain parts of that bike path that pedestrians are not allowed on. And I'm fine with that.
But you're talking roads here.
Well, I am.
Tony's saying no roads.
Okay. Dan of North Lakes, what do you think?
Robin, you're off the mark on this one.
Oh, really? Why?
How are you going to police it?
If they're cyclists on certain roads where they're banned, they get fined in the same way that we deal with everyone.
Yeah, again, the 2 or 3 minutes, you know, I think car drivers have just got to take a deep breath. Cyclists have to use discretion, as Greg's pointed out.
Thanks, Dan.
You know, there are some roads you shouldn't be riding on at peak hour.
Dan, are you a cyclist? You sound like a cyclist.
I am a cyclist.
Have you noticed in the last, I think it's 3 years since the 1 metre rule came out, how much nicer motorists are being to cyclists?
Yes, definitely.
I reckon it's working, Robin.
There are bad cyclists.
Yes.
But there are plenty of bad drivers.
Mm. Oh, look, Dan, I agree with that. But the thing is that I actually don't want cyclists to die. And I think that there are certain conditions within Queensland where that is a real problem. Actually, Brendan of Deception Bay says they shouldn't be allowed on peak hour. There you go. I'll compromise.
That's not a bad one.
Just through
peak
hour.
But we're going faster than you at peak hour. Is that because of jealousy, he says?
Yeah, 100%. A bit of envy. I love a bit of peak time riding.
Yeah.
Because you scream past.
Yeah. See you, mate. Thanks for your fumes.
Had plenty of calls through on 133353. Can't get to all of them, but the results are in 55% of people agreeing with Robin. Cyclists shouldn't be on the roads, certain roads.
Okay, only 55.
Recount.
Very close.
I thought there would be more than that.
Very close. We don't have the you know, we're not going
to
recount.
Some of our listeners have evolved to a higher intellectual level and now realise that the world can coexist.
Okay, please don't be mean to cyclists. Yeah, but that is something I will categorically say.
Except for some of them, those ones. I don't like the ones.
From a house down in heaven or on the Gold Coast, from the horrors of Ipswich or even up the coast, it's Triple M's Bogan's News.
This morning, Bogan News is up on the sunny coast, up to a place that I had not heard about until this morning, Aussie World Theme Park.
Oh, I love Aussie World. Great place for under eights.
I've been doing some Googling. It looks awesome. Now, this story caught my attention this morning. Police were called to control Priscilla Butler after she refused to leave the pub at Aussie World last month followed it up. Is it a good pub?
Big pub.
What's it
called?
She's followed it up. It's called the pub.
What is it called?
The pub. It's just the pub.
They had to fix it up, the slopey roof and everything, and repainted it all. It still looks good. I haven't been in there lately, though.
Okay.
Well, they probably need to do some renos after old Priscilla was in there. She's followed up not leaving with this Ripper Bogan combo of punching a security guard, exposing herself to families and children, and calling a female police officer a lesbian cyborg.
For a themed
pub at Aussie World, they have absolutely nailed it. Now, the magistrate, Hayden Sternquist, by the way, magistrate named Hayden, H-A-Y-D-N.
All right. You may have to appear before him one day. Be careful.
Said Butler was lucky she didn't severely injure anyone in the outburst. He said, it's not rare people in your position get away from jail. Luckily, the injuries were minor. So, thankfully, she did have a Bogan Hayden on her side. Now, obviously, Movie World is known as Hollywood on the Gold Coast, while Aussie World appears to just be the sunny coast on the sunny coast.
Big breakfast, Triple M.
I had a friend tell me this week about losing a job recently, and what I think is one of the best ways I've ever heard somebody losing their job. He was working in an office, right? Mm-hmm. He's normally a tradie. But he decided to stop that. He's going to try something a bit easier on his body. He got an office job.
Yep.
Gets an office job. At lunchtime, he's bored. So he goes out to have a smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a regular cigarette, is what I'll say.
Okay, Dorothy.
It's a green cigarette.
Yeah.
He comes back in. He's looking at the website seek.com.au because he's bored with his new job. He falls asleep at the computer. And he's caught by his boss. Passed out in front of a computer while looking for a new job.
He's not complaining, sure. Is he?
Oh, no. He's not going for unfair dismissal. Yeah, right.
How long had he been in this new job for?
About 2 months. Oh, just had enough.
He would have had to have had a warning letter and a second warning letter.
See, that's what happens in offices. Building sites, it's a lot easier because you just go, your work's substandard, you're out of here.
Well, let's find out.
If you're in front of a computer on a job site, I reckon you'd get the sacking on a work site.
Yes.
Red of Wynnum, you were on a job site. What happened?
I was an apprentice. We were doing defects on a big job down in Noosa, and we'd all gone out that Friday night and came into work, and I was pretty tired, so I thought, I'll sneak into a wardrobe and just have a lie down while no one's
watching. You're not the first one, are you?
And, heard someone coming up the stairs and jumped up and put my nail bag on and started whacking something. And he comes around the corner and here's a great big dribble and a big carpet imprint on the side of my face. And, they put two and two together and I didn't come Monday.
Oh, that is rough. You'd got up, though, and pushed through.
I know, but anyway.
I said my mate, comedian Luke Heggie used to fall asleep, but he'd have his hand or foot up against a door, so when the door would try and open, it'd wake him up, and he'd just have stuff next to him and go, oh, yeah, I'm awake, I'm just doing this on the floor.
On the floor.
Alfred of Launton had to get
You're
sacked.
A baker.
What happened, Alfred?
Hey, guys, love your skills in the morning. Brings a smile to everyone's face. How you doing?
Yeah, good, mate. Where'd you get sacked from?
Mate, look, about 10 years ago when we migrated, as you do, from down south. I'm a tradie. Got on a building site, got a job my first week. And at lunchtime, everyone started talking about football. So I kind of kept my mouth shut a little bit. And they asked me who I barracked for. And being a patriotic Parramatta boy, I kind of said the Eels. And it didn't go down too well, mate. The boss said, pack up your crap and get out of here.
He wasn't... Really?
No, he wasn't happy at all. So I thought, no, you're joking, right? He goes, no, get out of here.
Wow.
And I kind of packed my tools and I walked out of the building site and that was it. I was pretty shocked.
You cannot sack someone for supporting a different team.
You can.
If he was playing for the Broncos,
yes,
but he went for Parramatta.
Alfred, next job you went to, did you become a Broncos fan at lunchtimes?
Well, I tell you what, when it's state of origin, I keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Having a good year this year, though, Alfred. You and your new Bankwest Stadium. It's all going well for Para.
I know. Well, Wooden Spoon is a couple of times, you know. I still, barrack for the team. You can't say no to him, you know. Yeah.
Good on you. I actually side with Alfred's former employer, but that's okay. $100 to spend at CNL Tools Mega Store Banyo because you want to buy tools. Not beautiful. Talk to one. CLToolCentre.com.au. Good on you, Alfred.
Fantastic. Thank you.
And get out of here. We hate the Eels. It's the Big Breakfast on Triple M.
Come on.
Okay, can we talk about Julian Assange? He's now facing, I think it's 51 weeks in jail in Britain because he walked out of the embassy that he was holed up in for a number of years and he got arrested.
Well, they went in and grabbed him.
Well, kind of, yeah. But the Ecuadorian said they no longer wanted to.
I think he finally broke and thought I might run down the shops.
Did you see they hated? The two things were he was leaving half-eaten meals in the sink all the time because he was saying, I'm too busy to wash up, and skateboarding inside.
Oh, and the other thing was that he tried to sue the president for turning off his internet.
And that.
That's going to upset anyone, don't you think?
Yeah, he's a Queenslander, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And if you watched 60 Minutes a couple of weeks ago, they did an expose on him. I've got to say, his dad, watching his dad, just as a father talking about a son, that was the time I thought he was the most human that I've ever kind of had any feelings for Julian Assange. But it would seem that he's got friends in high places because yesterday his first ever visitor into jail, where he is now, was the one and only Baywatch bombshell Pamela Anderson. And she said this once she'd left him.
He's a good man. He's an incredible person. You know, I love him.
Oh. Yeah, she loves him. So that sent me on a bit of a goose chase to find out exactly why she loves him.
What would the parallels be? Like he's a...
Well,
what do you describe him
I can tell you exactly how they came together, but just speculate for me how you think Pamela Anderson and Julian Assange got to know each other. Fan of red bikinis?
Yeah, maybe he wasn't a Baywatch fan, and the Hoff visited him in the Ecuadorian embassy, and he said, have you got Pamela's number? And it went from there.
No.
Yeah, maybe. Is that another thing that the government weren't talking about in the embassy? Was Julian up to no good? Is that why his internet got cut off?
Well, maybe.
Oh, the old
Julian, do you have the flu? There are a lot of tissues around here, mate, and you've got to put them in the bin.
Remember that?
Julian? I'm going to save us all from this.
Pamela Anderson was with Tommy Lee. There was a very famous video at one stage.
Yes, there was. Didn't come out of the Ecuadorian embassy. No, the reason why they know each other is Pamela contacted Julian's people because she is an animal activist and she felt that Julian was the person that could teach her most how to have impact with her activism.
Oh.
So she went in there with a notebook and spent 3 hours writing down all the things he suggested. Yeah. Mm. I'm not suggesting someone who ends up in jail is the person to necessarily be modelling your...
Yeah, if you love animals, make sure you piss off governments all around the world by releasing highly classified documents.
It's a Big Breakfast on Triple M.
Marto's Smoko Shout.
Wednesdays we head out and we feed and water the masses.
It's your favourite time of the week. You get to actually get in there and talk to real people about the real jobs they do and you learn
stuff. You know who rang yesterday?
Who?
Wayne from out at Queensland Newspapers.
Oh, Marie.
Well, now, I thought you might say at Bowen Hills, which is where they used to be. They sent the whole thing to print and everything. All the journos are still at Bowen Hills there.
It's wonderful. Under the gateway. You can see the gateway.
Near the gateway, in the corner of Creek and Lytton. So a lot of people drive past there every day and they probably wonder what goes on in there. Well, Danny will tell you what goes on.
What gets printed here?
Predominantly the Courier, Sunday Mail, the Aussie, Gold Coast Bulletin,
everything,
and the Quest.
Hold on, there's
community papers here.
There's heaps of old stuff. So it's museum and a working.
Yeah.
God, this is it. What everything used to happen at Bowen Hills now happens out
here.
Apart from they write the stories of Bowen Hills.
That's right. The bulk of our paper comes from Albury, Wodonga.
Oh, wow. Right, right.
Paper mill down there.
It's recycled? Any of it recycled?
Predominantly recycled.
Wow. Yeah.
Not as good as a brewery, but it was a pretty bloody good tour.
Have they got a really big printing press? Like, does it all work right like that?
Yes. All right. This thing was about three stories high. So it was about 12 metres high, the printing presses that does the Sunday Mail, but there's others, though, like all the Harvey Norman ads and all that sort of thing. The good
lift
guys,
outs.
They're all printing those. These big wheels of paper are 2 metres in diameter. It's the
whole
thing.
And does it just, like I imagine, like it just feeds through and then it prints?
You know the Jetsons? Remember that space age show, the Jetsons?
George Jetson.
Yeah, and they had conveyor belts. There were hundreds of conveyor belts going everywhere with newspaper. And then all of a sudden at the end, the Courier Mail gets printed out.
You would have been so excited.
It was like magic. It was like magic. Can I just give a big rap to all the guys and girls I met yesterday?
Wayne.
Paul.
Dan Miller.
Phil.
Ray.
Nader. Sue.
Jack.
Alana.
Colleen.
Liz.
Scott.
Greg.
Greg?
Yeah. Well, hello, Greg.
Nicole.
Cherie.
Sophie.
All right.
Lots of women working at Queensland.
Yes, there was a little Queensland Super W, Queensland rugby girl, plays on the wing, Alicia. She said hello to her. Oh, they're a good crew. Really good bunch of people. And then I thought, what will I ask them today? And thought, you remember Prince Harry came out yesterday, Nick, and he showed real heartfelt, when he made the announcement about the baby. And the first, talking about his first moments after becoming a dad.
Yep.
All blokes are like that. Well, most blokes are like that.
Do you remember that moment when your wife gave birth?
No.
Where were you?
Working.
Has she ever forgiven you?
Yeah.
Well, we've got rugby league players missing games. We've got pilots missed flights. She has forgiven you?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, it's pretty good.
Where were you holding her hand?
Whose hand?
I hope it's your wife.
Which one?
Oh, bless.
Must try harder.
Sentimental.
Yes.
And speaking of the royal baby as well, it has been named overnight. Yeah. An unexpected name as well, which we will get to soon.
Yeah, and also we'll hear from Megan for the first time who has spoken.
Smoko shout, all thanks to C&L Tools Megastore Banyo. Because you want to buy tools, not talk to one, cltoolscentre.com.au. Register your business, MMM.com.au. Big breakfast, MMM.
Okay, let's talk the royal baby. Very exciting. They were promoting it all through the night that, yes, there was going to be a press conference and Megan and Harry were going to reveal and introduce a little baby Archie Harrison Mountbatten Windsor to the world. Archie, not Archibald, interestingly enough. Harrison because it is Harry's son. I'm not kidding. Mountbatten because it's a family name and Windsor because it's their last name. Now, he's been introduced as Master as opposed to Earl or Lord.
What does that mean? No, you have to explain.
Well, basically that says to the world, apparently, that they're going to try and raise him as normal as possible without a title because he is entitled to be an Earl or a Lord based on where he is in the royal family. But they haven't done that. They've just said he's Master.
Did they address any of the rumours that he's not the son of any prince?
Like, no, they didn't, actually. He's not the grandson. Not surprisingly, no.
His father.
No,
made,
none of that.
Yes,
but you may be interested in some of the press conference because we heard Megan speak, the mother, for the very first time.
Pretty amazing. And I mean, I have the two best guys in the world, so I'm really happy. He has the sweetest temperament. He's really calm and...
he gets that from
And he's just been the dream, so it's been a special couple days.
He's only 2 days old. Mm. All they do is sleep. I don't know about his temperament yet, but well done.
Bit of meconium.
Yeah.
That's all they would have said so far.
Anyway, they were then asked who he takes after. Now, this you'll be interested in.
We're still trying to figure that out.
Everyone says the baby's changed so much over 2 weeks. We're basically sort of monitoring how the changing process happens over this next month, really. But his looks are changing every single day.
Yeah.
So who knows? He's already got a little bit of facial hair as well. Wonderful.
Gee,
he looks like you, Nick Cody.
That sometimes happens, though.
Unlucky baby.
But the final thing was after the press conference, they were then going off to have their official visit with the Queen and the Duke. So Philip was wheeled out and so was the Queen. And this is what the couple said about that meeting.
So we just bumped into the Duke as we were walking by, which was so nice. So it'll be a nice moment to introduce the baby to more family, and my mom's with us as well. So it's been a really here we go.
Another great grandchild.
Yes.
I love bumped into the Duke.
Mm. Yeah, I
as
just
if they were just down the shops.
Well, no, I
well,
had this
image.
Well,
he wouldn't have been driving, of course. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, Grandpa, you can't drive it anywhere. Yeah.
The Big Breakfast on Triple M.
Guys, obviously, over the weekend, terrible plane crash in Russia where a bunch of people have died. In Moscow, I believe, plane took off, got hit by lightning. They lost communication, had to turn around. They've landed with full fuel tanks, which is never good. The plane's too heavy. It's exploded. It's a bad time. Now, the day after it comes out that people had been leaving, the reason so many people were stuck on there is because people were taking out their overhead luggage.
That's
terrible human beings.
Yep.
And you think, could there be anyone worse in a situation like this? Then it turns out one of the blokes that had taken his overhead luggage went straight to the counter at the airport and demanded a refund.
Yeah.
And you go, whoa, sweet Lord, human beings, we are falling apart rapidly. Surely there cannot be anyone worse than the fatty that wants a refund after contributing to the deaths of people behind him because he's grabbing Krispy Kreme donuts. Then it comes out today, oh, my God, the airport officials at the airport were filming on their phone and joking about what they were seeing.
What? As people were evacuating down the slides?
Yeah. There was video of someone from the airport filming and laughing at someone on fire.
Maybe that's just weird response that you go into when you see something so shocking.
Is it though? is that what you do if you saw a...
I honestly can't.
I've got a dark sense of humour. I think though at a plane crash you might... ask if anyone needs a hand or,
yes,
I don't know, if you go straight to YouTube live streaming while making jokes.
That's the thing that really upsets me about all of this sort of stuff is how many times there are phones which are capturing these moments. And, you know, you have a choice, people. You can either go help or you can record it. And sadly, more and more people are recording it.
One of the women in the video asked, are there people injured? And then one of the men said, why would they be injured? And then she said, well, how else would they be? And then started laughing. And the bloke said, I guess it was an okay landing. And another one said, an okay landing, a landing with a bang. And then they all laughed again.
Okay, he's just stupid. Like, there's something majorly wrong with that guy. It's Rain Man who's just having a visit to the airport. Like, this is not right.
I just want to know, like, how can it get worse? Surely something's going to come out today or tomorrow that you go, just when it couldn't get any better, like someone's run past, there's a passenger on fire and he's flicked him in the nuts or something and gone, he's blown a raspberry and run off. Like, how much worse
can
the people
can
in this
be.
Situation
can't
be?
Get any worse.
It can't get any worse.
Big Breakfast on Triple M. Catch you tomorrow. Don't waste your life. It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show. Triple M.